Word. Okay. So quería hablar de la conexión de entre Parshat Bamidbar y Shavuot. Esto que leemos, Parshat Bamidbar, antes de Shavuot, es siempre así. Cada año necesitas hacer así. It's even mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara itself says that you're supposed to read Parshat Bamidbar before Shavuot directly. Now, what?
Hay un simán para recordarse,
Minu ve'itzru,
¿no? Minu de Itzru.
yeah. Count and then do its atzeret. Atzeret is Shavuot. So first count, then the Shavuot. So first of all, the symbol, just before we get carried away, the simple reason for that is because you don't want to have the bad klalot of last week's parasha leading into Shavuot. You want to have a stop in between. That's the simple reason. But there's a more advanced reason. It's there's something special about Parshat Bamidbar. So I want to look, is there a theme that we could take out of the parasha? What's one idea in the parasha that comes up over and over? And if we can figure out what that parasha, what that theme is, maybe we'll understand what that connection is to Matan Torah. Okay? So I think that if you look in the parasha, some people would claim that the parasha is a little bit quote unquote boring. So exciting what's going on in the parasha. What happens? We basically do two things. We count people. We're counting the people. We divide each people into a tribe and into family units, and then we count them. And then we take the tribes and we create their position in the camp vis-a-vis the Mishkan. And that's called the Parsha of the Degalim. So each person, each place, each person is counted, each tribe is counted, and then each tribe is given their position in the camp. Okay. Now I want to look at the language used when we're counting the people. Okay. And some of the things that we'll learn when we look at the language are fascinating, even though we read it very quickly and it looks like, again, like I said, it's not so exciting, but you'll see that it's really very interesting. Just the first pasuk or the second, it says, Si'u, you shall count, take a census. It's Rosh Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael. Please count them. Now, take a look at all these words used when we're counting the people. L'mishpachotam, according to their families. L'veis avoisam, according to their house of their fathers. B'mispar shemos, listing the names of the people. Kol zachar l'gulgoloisam, every male by their head. So that means if you really understand what the pasuk is saying, there's many different ways. That's all I wanted to show. There's many different ways to count people. You could give a machzit shekel and count the coins, right? You could have each family member give in. I have six people in my family and give in the card. And count the cards, right? You could have maybe a person over a shevet, count his shevet and give it over. Here it doesn't say that. It says you have to count each person, and each person has to now present the way the Ramban explains it. Each person comes and each person comes and needs to present himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he must say which shevet he's from, which family he's from, and his name. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, one, two, right? And the Ramban even goes so far as to say, just this is not my point, but it's interesting. I don't want to get sidetracked, but I always say this. I probably say it every year. Parshat Bamidbar, it's an amazing point. Someone pointed out one time to me. He says, do you think that that's important or not important for Moshe Rabbeinu to be involved in this process? If it would be me, I would think Moshe Rabbeinu is busy talking to Hashem all day. Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing down the word of God. He's sitting in the mountain 40 days. He reached a level of humanity that nobody ever reached in this world. He didn't have to eat for 40 days, and he lived as an angel, basically. So if I was making a system of counting, I would delegate, right? Moshe Rabbeinu should not be busy with this. But it says clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu has to be the one doing this. Okay, fine. So Moshe Rabbeinu, take a couple minutes and count the people. Let's make a calculation. There were 603,000 1,000 people, right? Let's do this. Here, let's bring the calculator. Now, where'd it go? Here. So there was 603,000 people, right? Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu has to be introduced to each one and say, this is my name, this is my tribe, this is the people I am, right? This is where I come from. How long does Moshe Rabbeinu have to spend with each person? Call it 30 seconds? You want to call it 30 seconds?
Yes.
Okay, let's call it 30 seconds. Times 30 seconds equals 18 million seconds. Okay. Now, how many seconds are in a day? All right, there's 60 seconds in an hour.
Yes.
60 seconds in a day.
24.
What?
Divide by 60 and then divide by 24.
Well, there's 60 seconds in a minute, and then there's 60 minutes in an hour. So that means there's 3,600 minutes. There's 3,600 seconds in an hour. Okay, so let's divide. Let's do something else here. Let's see how many seconds there are in a. Can I bring it up again? Okay. There's 30, right? There's 60 seconds in a minute times 60 in an hour times 24 hours, 24 hours a day, right? 86, okay? So how many days, if Moshe Rabbeinu spent 30 seconds per person? So let's divide.
Almost 3 months.
No. By 80, divide by 86,000. What do we say? 86,400. Days. That's right. If he was spending 30 seconds a person, it would take him almost a full year, 209 days. That's doing it 24 hours a day. 210 days, that's 3/4 of a year. Pretty interesting, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is spending over 6 months.
Incredible.
Moshe Rabbeinu is spending 7 or 8 months, 24 hours a day, counting the people. Right? So this is not something that was not important. Okay, obviously it was important enough to take Moshe Rabbeinu's time for a year to do this. Because what we were counting now is 30 seconds a person, 24 hours a day. Right? Okay, anyway, fine. But this is the way the people are being counted. So on the one hand, let's just think about that. On the one hand, the people are being counted by their tribe and by their shevet. And by, right? On the other hand, the people are being counted by their names. They're telling Moshe Rabbeinu their name. So are we focusing on the group of Klal Yisrael, or are we focusing on every single individual? And this is the chidush of the way they're being counted over here. Because by the way, in Sefer Shemot, when the Jewish people were counted in Sefer Shemot, they were not being counted by name. They were counted according to the Machzit HaShekel. Everyone gave Machzit HaShekel and was counted. Here it says that they were counted by name. Lemispar Shemot, Legulgulotam. Each person was counted. So over here, there's the Torah is telling us a message. The message is like this. Every person has to view themselves, I'm part of the group. I have the tradition, I'm part of the chain. There's a reason why, you know, there's a tradition, there's a Mesorah, there's the Jewish people, I'm here for the Klal, I'm part of the group. It's very important that everybody should think that way. Right? Because a person will think, well, I don't care about the group, I don't care about the klal, I don't care about the other people. So he's missing in his in the fact that he's part of the nation. So he doesn't feel that sense of responsibility or that sense of belonging to the people. But there's a very big problem with that. The problem with that is you lose your sense of individuality also. You lose your sense that I'm important. I'm just here because I'm part of the group. So who am I, really, ultimately? Do I have any unique contribution to give? Maybe I don't have a unique contribution. Maybe I'm just here. Look, someone has to be here. Someone's got to pass it on. So he gives it to me. I don't really care if it's you or someone else. You have a big game. You got to fill up the stadium. I don't care who's filling it up. You think the players, anybody cares who's in the stand? They don't care who's filling it up. They want it to be full. So maybe I'm just here to be part of the group, but I don't have an individuality here. So that's why specifically they were counted by name. The point of that is to send a message. No, no, no. It's a dual thing. On the one hand, you're part of the group. On the one hand, you have to realize how important it is that you're part of the group. On the other hand, at the same time, you have to know what your individual contribution is. And you as an individual have a unique contribution that we need you to do. And only you can do that. Only you can contribute what you can contribute. No one else can contribute what you can. The Rav Volba used to say, Rav Volba was one of the mashgiachim in Eretz Yisrael. Mashgiach means that he was responsible not for the learning of the boys in the yeshiva, but he was responsible for their spiritual growth. Okay? So he would give talks about how to ensure that they're growing spiritually in that way. That's what the mashgiach was. So the Rav Volba, Rav Shlomo Volba, was the greatest mashgiach of the generation. You know, he was. I heard shmuzin from him. Not that I understood them, but that's beside the point. But Rav Volba used to say, he said, I want to bring you a proof. I want to show you that you have a unique contribution that no one else can do. So he said, okay, let me see the proof. The proof is, because if not, Hashem would say, if not, what do I need you for? Meaning, Hashem is not going around, you know, just making people here on the planet for no reason. There's a reason why I need you. If you finish your tafkid, if you have nothing unique to contribute, so I don't need you here. The reason you're here is to contribute the unique contribution that you have. So the counting of the Jewish people in this parsha is coming to send that the dual message. On the one hand, it's you're part of the group. We need to know how many Jews there are. But on the other hand, it's your unique name, your unique contribution that we have to give. And that's also, by the way, the message of the flags. What's the message of the flag? The flag was a way to identify the character of that tribe. That tribe is unique Shevet. It's a unique tribe. They had something unique about themselves. And they posted that as on their flag, on their Degalim. And they therefore had a unique position next to the Mishkan. Everyone has to be in their spot. Okay? Fine. So I would say that the subtle message of this parasha is that every person counts. Every person matters. Right? Every person matters. You're counted as an individual. That's what the parasha is really telling me. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense why the Gemara says that you have to read this parasha. You have to read the parasha of the counting before the Shavuot. Because what inspires the person the most when it comes to their learning? One is, I want to know. But one is that there's something unique about what I have that no one else has. I have a unique perspective on certain things, right? My background is such that I understand things a different way than the other person. And therefore, I have a unique contribution in learning that only I can give and no one else has. And Hashem wants me to understand it the way I understand it and to put the perspective on it the way I have a perspective on it. And that's the reason why I need to learn the Torah. I need to accept the Torah because I have my unique contribution to give to the Torah itself. The Torah specifically says, read this parasha before you accept the Torah. Understand that you have what Hashem wants every individual. 603,500 people, each person has their place in the Torah and has their place and their contribution that they can give. There's a famous story. Now, this story is very, very extreme, but it's also very simple in a way. So there's a story that there's a famous Rav called the Netziv. The Netziv was his name was Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Volozhin. Okay, we spoke about Reb Chaim Volozhin, and we spoke about different things, but the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva was the Netziv. The Netziv wrote many Sfarim, and when he finished writing one of the Sfarim, I think it was the Hemek Sheila, when he finished writing that Sefer, so he got up to give a speech and started crying. And they asked him, "Well, why are you crying?" He said, "I'm going to explain to you why I'm crying." And then he begins telling his story. And the story goes like this. He said, "When I was a little boy, I didn't do that well in school. I was okay, but I didn't do that well in school. One night, I hear my parents talking in the living room, and they're talking about the fact that, look, I'm not doing so well in yeshiva, and they think it's time that I go out, leave yeshiva, and go out to work. You know, in those days, little, you know, some people have to yeshiva, some people have to go help their parents. So it's time that you leave the yeshiva and help your parents, you know, at the work. And, you know, at that moment, he started crying and he came out of his room. He said, no, I'll dedicate myself more. And that's when there was a change in my life. So he says, what would have happened if I would have done that? What would happen? What happened would be I would be a nice guy. I would be a good Jew. And I would probably learn a little. And I would think that everything I'm doing is great. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to. It's fine. I would come up to Shemayim. I would come up to the Shemayim and they would greet me in Shemayim and they would say, "Hi, where's your sefer that you wrote?" "Books that I wrote? I'm a simple Jew. I don't write books." No, you had a commentary on the Chumash, a commentary on the Shas. You had a commentary on the Haggadah. You had a commentary on Shir HaShirim. You have a commentary on the Hemek Sheila. You have a Tshuva responsa that you wrote. You have a Halachic Sfarim that you wrote. Where are they? In Shemayim, they're waiting. In Shemayim, there's a shelf of stuff that you wrote. Where is it? And me, I'm a simple. You got the wrong guy. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. I did have. And he said they would have expected of me that portion because that was my portion in the Torah. That was my contribution, and I had a contribution to give, and I was this close to going a path that would have taken me away from the contribution that I could have given. And now that I'm writing the book, I'm not really writing anything new. I'm reaching the potential that I really have the whole time. So therefore, this is my portion, and I'm reaching my portion. So that's why he was, that's why, you know, he said that was his accomplishment. So that's how he looked at it. He looked at it like there's a unique contribution that I have to give them. It's not going to be there. That book will not be there if I don't write it. Not like someone else is going to do it. And it doesn't have to be a book or anything. Even my unique contribution in the way that my perspective lets me understand something uniquely is my portion in Torah. And therefore the message of Parshas Bamidbar is that every person has their unique contribution and their unique position next to the Mishkan or whatever it is. That's why Hashem wants you to be Mekabel the Torah and all of us individually and as a group to accept the Torah and provide and give our unique contribution to it. So you know, I wanted to share that. There's another I said over today that there's another there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot that someone that learns and forgets what they learned, it's as if they are mechayav misa. It's as if that they're mechayav benafshoy, that their nefesh is like is their they owe Hashem back their nefesh. So what's so bad? You forgot your learning. Okay, I mean. You forgot your learning. What do you want? So some want to say that what it's referring to, it doesn't mean you're learning. Look, you learned. It means you're something that you were mechadish, your chidush, something. It's your novel idea. And the reason why you're obligated to give Hashem back your nefesh is because that unique idea, if you forget it, will never be in this world. That unique perspective, if you don't bring it to the world, will never be here. And maybe you were brought in this world to give and provide that unique idea. So therefore, if you didn't do it, it's almost as though you still, oh, Hashem, your trip down here. You know, you have to pay for your ticket. You know, Hashem brought you down here. You have a ticket to pay. And the ticket to pay is, you know, I have my unique contribution. So everyone has to, everyone knows their ability, and their ability to give a unique contribution is the point ultimately of Parshas Bamidbar and accepting the Torah. All right? Is that...
Thank you very much.
I'll try to that just gives me, you know, good. I mean, I'll be able to give it over. Good. Very powerful.
Yes, wow. Thank you, Rosh. Shalom.
Okay, thank you. Shabbat shalom. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.